What's up, Chicago? That's right. It is Friday, July the 9th, 2016, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And, man, we have a show for you today. On today, we can do nothing else but discuss what has been going on in our country and happening to our people. So that's what the topic of today's conversation is about. I've just simply titled it 72 Hours and Counting, When Will the Madness Stop? 72 Hours and Counting, When Will the Madness Stop? Let me give you guys the rundown on how you can reach out and be a part of today's show. Man, first of all, those of you already listening on Blog Talk Radio, all you have to do is just push one. I'm sorry, those of you listening via your phone, if you're already listening via your phone lines, you just push one and you could be a part of the show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio or watching on any of the mediums and you want to take part and have questions or comments about what's going to be said, simply dial 855-381-8804, 855-381-8804, and you can be a part of the show. If you're on social media, we are all over that. Facebook Live is up and running. I see y'all already there. I see you already there. Pastor Charles King, see you already on there, sir. I'm looking forward to your insight. You've been typing some powerful stuff, sir. So if you feel like it, feel free to join in the conversation. You know the number, 855-381-8804. I'll make sure to put the number. If you on there, could you just type it in the comments? Yeah, type in the number so they can have it. But I ain't take you all, all of that anyway. But if you want to talk to me, 855-381-8804. For those of you who are going to be watching live, you can dial in to be a part of the show. And once you get on, it'll just bring you on, and you can and we'll take your questions or comments. If you are on Twitter, you can tweet the show. Simple, at TTLO Radio. Again, that's at TTLO Radio, and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you're on Ustream, you can follow us on Ustream. We are live on Ustream as well. The chat room is open over there, I believe. Just chat room is open on Ustream, so we're waiting over there to take your questions and or comments there as well. Email. The email is up and running, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. You want to email the show with your question or comment or concern, we would definitely love to see that there as well. And last but not least, you can download the podcast of today's show and every other show that we've done simply by going to iTunes and doing a search under the podcast section for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Ustream.tv, do a search there, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. I forgot to tell you that. Ustream is up and running, but just simply do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us right there as well. Whew, man. My brother, what's going on, sir?
Oh man, a lot.
Yeah,
we can see.
Yeah, there. Yeah,
what's going on, man?
Yeah, how you feeling? How you feeling first before we dive in? How you feeling? Are you having some back and side issues? We a little better?
Yeah. Actually, okay. I'm good on that. I'm
okay.
Getting over a stiff neck.
Okay.
Sort of situation.
Okay.
So.
We'll get you some new pillows.
Other than that, man.
We're gonna get you some new pillows.
I've taken away a pillow, so.
Oh wow, you took away one.
I think it's working out.
Okay.
It was three, so I'm down to two. So
okay.
We'll see what happens?
Okay.
What about you?
I'm good. I'm good, man. I'm tired. And I don't know if it's. I don't believe it's a physical tired. It's when your brain is tired.
Okay.
And so it's one of those deals. And let's just jump into it. Wednesday, we had just found out about the gentleman in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Alton is his name, right? Make sure I get his name right. We had just found out about him on Wednesday when we were doing the show. We had just found out about him, and then later on, we found out about the young man in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And then while we are dealing with the young man in Minneapolis, Minnesota, we get hit with during a protest to protest what happened to the two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They're marching in a peaceful protest, and somewhere around the end of the protest, we get what looks to be a one-man job so far, decides he's going to take out police officers. And at this point, we're up to five dead Dallas police, four dead Dallas police officers and one Dallas Transit Authority, something, police officer that was killed. Man, I'm at a loss. I really am. I don't even know where to I don't even know where to go with this. I really don't. where are you at it right now? What's your if that's I know that's a wild question to ask, but where are you at it right now with it?
Wow. Well, let's see. I don't know. It's just been a lot of things going back and forth in my mind. I got a chance to hear Jake's because he went on last night.
TD Jakes?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he posted a video, and I don't know. I guess I'm pretty controversial when it comes to issues like this. I've been holding back from responding on Facebook because I did have like almost a page of information I wanted to share, but I would say that this is, man, this is truly a thing. I would say this is the system's fault.
Okay.
I would go as far as saying this is the repercussions of a failed system. And so as I was tweeting and I was like, man, this is going to be something I minister about tomorrow, injustice.
Mm-hmm.
What we see happening here is that because the system has failed to acknowledge, first and foremost, I mean, there were people who say all the time that the system is broken.
Mm-hmm.
But the system itself doesn't see that there is a problem.
Mm.
Right. And so what happens is when you don't see that there's a problem, there's going to be handed down, you know, numerous injustices that continue to happen and plague this country. And so what happens is certain people start to take the law into their own hand, and they will execute what they would call their level of justice. And I said this a year ago.
Yeah.
Remember when the two police officers in Brooklyn were shot
and
killed? And this was right after the Eric Garner situation.
Right.
So now here it is again, two black men are killed. And here it is, we see a person who is, I guess he's African-American.
It appears
who,
to be. It appears
who
to
had
be.
To have had some sort of militant or military training,
mm-hmm.
because this guy was a sniper.
Yeah.
So where do you think this come from? Even though people say, oh, I'm outraged. But nobody was outraged except for the black community and those who are not racist. Let me just throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are not racist, who are not African-Americans, those are the people who wanted to do protests, who got out in the streets. But the system itself, outside of Obama and the mayor from Minnesota or the governor, whoever he was, was the only people to step forward and to make a statement. Now, you got the House of Representatives today. You want to talk about, you know, something being, you know, a heinous crime? See, this is why I have mixed feelings about this foolishness, is that because it's one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really one-sided. Okay, somebody in law enforcement, somebody who is in the governmental system, they lose their life. But you all are not the same people who to stand on those platforms when people, Pookie and Ray Ray, are shot in the hood for no reason at all. That's the problem I have a problem with. And the people that they were interviewing on CNN, you know what? I couldn't have been on CNN because now we want to try to shift what has happened in the last 48 hours to mm-hmm. talk about what happened in the last 24 hours.
Yeah. I don't know who saw it yesterday. I wasn't going to say anything yesterday,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't. So, you know, and without better judgment and none of y'all around me to stop me. You know, I kind of went on live yesterday and just kind of let it out.
Mm.
And one of the things that I said was, and I want to make sure I express that today, this is not a new thing, like you just said. This is a systematic thing, but it goes far beyond the system that we know today. One of the things that we have to remember is if we take this all the way back to slavery, okay, one of the things we'll recognize is, think about it, slavery wasn't abolished by choice.
It was forced.
It was forced. It wasn't. It was abolished by force. What are you talking about, Dana? Let me help you. If I'm in the South believing that what I'm doing is morally correct, and all of a sudden you pass a law to tell me that what I'm doing is not correct, now I have to stop doing it, not because I no longer believe in it.
But because I'm forced to.
But because I'm forced to. So because I'm forced to, you sit there, and now I have to sit back and watch you feel something that has nothing to do, that has nothing to do with how I feel. So now you passed a law that says slavery is no good, but yet in my heart I still feel like I should still own slaves.
Right.
So you have to remember, this is passed down from generation to generation, where now all of a sudden these people who were okay with slavery, now it's illegal for them, but in their minds, y'all still less than 3/5 of a man. That's passed down from generation to generation. So it's not a new thing with the system. It's now more of an issue of this is what we believe. So when we pull you over, when we see you, you know, and it's like I said.
We've been taught this.
We've been taught this. Yeah. And then it goes a step further. I believe, and I'm glad he's here. We're going to take a break and have a guest in the studio. He's going to join us shortly. But one of the things that I want to recognize is something we can probably try to learn is – what appears from the two videos, and I know they're sketchy. You get one, you catch it at the end of the situation. The other one, we see it when the fight part of the tussling is taking place.
Right.
But they both sounded fearful. Both cops at the time sounded fearful. And then you hear them after the fact saying, oh, my God, like uh-oh, like I done messed up. Yeah, you know, it's that whole thing. So, you know, so it's one of these things where we need to move on. So let's do this, y'all. We're going to take a real quick break. I know we're in the middle of something. Those of y'all watching and listening and everything else, cameras up here, man, in front of you. Those of y'all watching everything else, we're going to take a real quick break so we can move some seats around, and I can get somebody that's going to help us out, hopefully help us out, because this is the reason I had him come in. And he's a retired, I should say that now, state trooper, because we all have sons. Mm-hmm. You do, I do, he does, and has a daughter. What do we tell them now when they get pulled over and they do all the right things? what do we say to them?
I mean, not to mention that they've legalized this concealed and carry situation.
Oh, that's a whole nother thing.
In this dude's disadvantage.
Yeah, that's a whole nother situation. So, look, y'all, we're going to take a real quick break. I'm going to give y'all a little music. Y'all just hold on where you at. We're going to jump on. Let me give you – hold on. Let me find something here. It is Praise Break Friday, so let me do a little something. I'm going to try to keep it together over here. Yeah, we're going to do this. So we'll be right back, y'all. Y'all stay blessed. PPLO.
And the story above the nation.
air. Look, y'all, so we took a quick break so we can make some quick changes in the studio. We had a guest come in. I asked my uncle, for those of you who don't know, my uncle is a retired 20-year veteran of the state Illinois State Police Department. So I asked him to come in just to give a different perspective. I also asked and Commander Betts, he'll probably be in next week, the 15th District Police Station. He'll probably be in studio next week. We're just trying to work out some logistics because, of course, he's busy. So I figured I would grab the retired dude first and have him come in. So one of the things we want to put this out there, too. We do want to definitely send our condolences out to the family of the four police officers and the traffic officer who was killed in Dallas. And one of the things that I love is that the fact that the two families, the one from Indianapolis and the one from Baton Rouge, came out against the shooting. They've let people know this was don't do this in the name of their family member. Don't go out there and do this. This isn't justice. It's not going to solve the problem because honestly, and I said this last night to some people I was speaking with, if you think you helped the situation, you didn't, because now you've made police officers more nervous.
I don't mean to be mean, but they should be.
I knew you was going to call.
They should be. I mean, we got a system that's failing, that refuses to reprimand officers who are corrupt, who mm-hmm. are dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And what has happened is, because of that, you got some people on the other side who may have been innocent, who have lost their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's unfortunate it happens, but we still need to look at the bigger picture. People are going to say, we're not getting justice. We're taking it in our own hands.
And that don't make it right. But I'm not saying it's not right. I get what you're saying.
I'm definitely not condoning it.
Right.
But I'm saying it is a reality, and we're going to continue to see it until people
feel like
the system is doing something to change how we police people, how we have this sort of rapport, this connection with people. You cannot go around for so long, even back then with slavery, as you talked about, there were some slaves who decided to rebel.
At some point. Right.
At some point.
When you get fed up enough.
You get your people, you rally your people. Why do you think the Black Panther Party was started?
Yeah. Yeah. Because they weren't getting any justice anywhere else.
They wanted to protect their people.
Yeah. So let's do this. So I have him in. I have my uncle here. His name's David Horton. I don't know, you know, that y'all don't need to know all that. Well, yes, y'all do. But anyway, he's here in the studio, and I asked him to come in because, like most of you guys who have children, you have brothers, sisters, nephews, or whatever. You have children who could be the next Trayvon Martin. You have a daughter who could be the next Sandra Bland. You have a son who could be the gentleman in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, who could simply be pulled over for a simple traffic violation, and we end up with this. So you've been retired for how long now, David? A couple of months?
7 months.
7 months.
7 months.
7 months. Okay. So in your experience, and I think, and I, if you can share with us, if you're comfortable with it, you've had been pulled over by some police officers before as a state trooper and have had an issue.
Yes, I did.
And it was not because you broke the law, but yeah.
No, I did not break the law.
Okay.
It got pretty hairy.
Help us with as a retired police officer and state and you know, give us an example of exactly what state police do. You know, we see y'all on the expressway. We try to slow. We hit brakes when we see y'all come.
Park on the side.
Right.
Well, first of all, state police. Our motto is integrity, service, and pride.
Okay.
And troopers throughout the state of Illinois try to exhibit integrity, service, and pride every day they go to work. We patrol the interstates, surrounding areas around interstate, in the state of Illinois, enforcing the Illinois Vehicle Code and criminal codes.
Okay.
Making arrests at truck inspection, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basic police work, but at a statewide level.
Okay. So in your training, because this is something that's been coming up a lot about the training of the police officers, how different is your training from that of a Chicago police officer?
Night and day. Night and day difference.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Night and day. When you start at the Illinois State Police Academy, it's very regimented, very structured. I was never in the military, but I just assume it's like the military.
Okay.
Straight line, walking a straight line, no talking. you can't have strings hanging off your uniform. You got to cut it, no lint.
Right.
Just very,
right.
very regimented, very strict but polished.
Okay. Okay.
You have to, when you come across someone in the hall in the academy, it's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. No, ma'am.
Military.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts in your 6 months in the academy.
Okay.
And it carries over and doing your classwork on how you interact with the public.
Okay.
And like I said once and earlier, in the Illinois State Police,
mm-hmm.
integrity, service, and pride is stressed.
Okay. So in your and I'm sure there's been some issues in from your beginning as a rookie up until you got out of the car and back in the car and all that good stuff. When you pull someone over, whether it be African American or European American or whatever, what's the process? What's the process? Because I'm assuming y'all run the plate before you get out the car or whatever.
Yeah,
it is. Okay, so what's the process?
Exactly. You see the violator.
Okay.
And then you run the plate.
Mm-hmm.
You get a response. You
mm-hmm.
activate your in the best case scenario, you activate your lights. You pull them over.
Mm-hmm.
You approach the car
mm-hmm.
Cautiously.
Okay,
know,
right.
And you explain to the violator why you stopped him.
Okay.
This is what, you know, Mr. Jones,
mm-hmm.
This is why I stopped you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you proceed from there, you know. And if he has to have a response, let him respond. I need your driver's license, insurance card,
mm-hmm.
and et cetera. And you just proceed from there.
Okay. Was there ever a time where you were fearful when you pulled the car over because of more than it was, you know, four or five people in the car, or it was just, you know, dark or whatever the situation is?
I've had occasions when I maybe pulled over a van.
Okay. Couldn't see in the back.
Couldn't see in the back. Or
yeah.
I pulled over a car that had five or six people in it.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
But, you know, I used my training. I, you know, approached. I was calm. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I spoke with the people. Spoke to them politely, with
okay.
respect.
Mm-hmm.
Explained to them, this is why I'm stopping you.
Okay.
Let me go from there.
Okay. Okay. Did you have any incidents with any that you can talk about? Any like anything negative that happened?
No, I've never.
Like a Hebrew slave. Okay,
out of 26 years of service,
uh-huh.
And I worked on a Dan Ryan,
right?
The Eisenhower, the Stevenson, and I have never had an incident where I had to get physical.
Mm. Wow.
With an individual. Thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always treated the people I stopped
okay.
with respect.
Okay.
And I treated them the way I would want them to treat a relative of mine.
If
they pulled them over.
Right.
Regardless of what took place.
Mm-hmm.
Or what crime was committed or what
mm-hmm.
law, anything was broken. Just treat them with respect. And I've always done that. And it allow me not to have any physical altercations in 26 years.
Okay. Okay.
I got to tell you one thing.
Come on.
You have to serve the people. And I'm going to tell you an incident that happened. This is a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was a night in February. It was cold, maybe about 15 degrees. And I was working midnight. And I saw a young lady at the bus stop
mm-hmm.
on Cermak in Michigan.
Okay.
She was waiting for a bus.
Mm-hmm.
By 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
She had one baby in a carriage,
mm-hmm.
and she had another one she was carrying. It was cold.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm stopped at the light,
mm-hmm.
and I'm facing westbound on Cermak.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a squad car pull up, CPD
mm-hmm.
squad car headed northbound of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They passed, you know, the light turn, they passed. Another car was directly behind them, another squad car.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made a left turn and went west on Cermak. And I saw the lady there,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, man, I need to get the young girl home.
Okay.
So I made the left turn.
Mm-hmm.
Onto Michigan going southbound.
Mm-hmm.
Told the young lady, jump in my car.
Mm-hmm.
Let me help you put the buggy in my
mm-hmm.
trunk.
Mm-hmm.
You in the back. Tell me where you're going. I dropped them off somewhere like a 63rd and
mm-hmm.
and Woodlawn or somewhere over there.
Okay.
And but that's the part of serving.
Yeah.
I'm not police department is not a cab service.
No, it's not.
But it's you serve.
Uh-huh.
And in an instant like that, I couldn't pass the woman up.
Mm-hmm. But you saw two other ones that did. And you ain't slighting them, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but I saw it.
Right.
And that's what I did. And things like that go a long way. And I tell you with the state police, you see troopers all the time assisting people on the side of the road, changing
mm-hmm.
a flat,
mm-hmm.
car broke down, and we give them a ride off the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's service.
Yeah.
You know, and I think our interaction with the public is much better.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more positive interaction with the public than CPD, but it's the way we're trained, and they stress that they stress the service part.
Okay.
And I think if there was more
service,
mm-hmm. you'll have a better communication between the community and the police department.
Well, that's one of the things that we talked about quite often, and is rebuilding the relationship between police and the community. Devon and I talked about this a lot, and I know as a kid growing up. And you remember this too. There was a time where, when you were on a block, you knew who your precinct captain was because he or she made themselves known on your block.
Mm-hmm.
So if something went down in your neighborhood, you didn't have to call 911. You knew when the precinct captain came by and stopped on your front porch, you could say, "Hey, how you doing, Doc?" Whatever, you know, you get him a pop or whatever, and then be like, "Oh, by the way, you know, down the street up there, y'all need to." And it was done. It wasn't. You didn't have to have a meeting. You have to do none of that. And then because they were active in the community, you didn't have a problem with talking to them. So it wasn't about not snitching.
Right.
Because everybody spoke to everybody knew, like, you know, up here in Austin. And I know generations of people that went to Austin. There was two cops that worked at Austin by the last name of Barksdale. One was the father. The other one was the son. I know people who knew the father, and I was there when the son was there. And everybody knew who Barksdale was. Now, he was a hard, you know, he was a little rough. But we respected him because he did talk to you. He was never disrespectful unless you disrespected him.
Mm.
But he was always open enough to talk to you so you could say, "Hey, man, look, I'm having this situation." And he had no problem with having – we don't have that anymore. I know some officers in CPD – and this is not to bash the Chicago Police Department. That ain't what this is about. There are some who do want to do that. But they're limited in what they can do because, unfortunately, you know, you're working with some people who just don't care. They just want to come to work, you know, not have nothing happen, collect their pension in 15 to 20 years and go home, and they don't really care. That's why you have these issues because they don't care about the communities they work in because they're not from those communities. That's part of the issue. You have people who didn't grow up in Austin or didn't even grow up on the west side or the south side of Chicago, or they grew up in areas like Bridgeport, but now they're working on the west side of Chicago. So they don't really know how to relate to you or me or him if we're walking down the street or if they see us. They don't even know how to question us properly
right.
because it's you know. And then they want to demand respect because of this badge. They want to command respect, but then like you just said, they don't. It's about offering at the same time.
Yeah.
So so let's talk about this if you can. You want to refresh? I remember some of what happened. The incident you had when you were pulled over by the police, I think you were driving your grandfather's truck or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were a state trooper at the time.
Yes, yes. This was in November of 95.
Okay.
I was taking my brother home.
Yeah.
On 18th, and I think it was Blue Island he lived.
Uh-huh.
So I was going south on Racine,
mm-hmm.
pulled up to the intersection of Racine and Taylor. There was
mm-hmm.
a squad car. That I thought was going to make a right-hand turn and go
mm-hmm.
west on Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his takedown lights on.
Okay.
So I pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
I let the window down on the passenger side.
Mm-hmm.
And I motioned to him. He got his attention. I said, "Hey, your takedown lights are on."
Uh-huh.
And he said, "Okay." And he turned them off.
Uh-huh.
And the takedown lights are the white lights
right.
over the top.
Just the two,
right.
the bright ones, right.
So that was it. And
uh-huh.
Light turned green. I proceeded through the intersection, kept going south on Racine.
Mm-hmm.
When I approached Roosevelt Road, he was behind me at that point.
Okay.
And he pulled over to my right again,
mm-hmm.
and he motioned to me. I let the window down,
mm-hmm.
and he saw I had a Chicago police officer's blue and white headband
on
my rearview mirror.
Right.
So he asked me what police district did I work for.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing, I told him I worked for District Chicago.
Right, because that's the district,
that's
state
the
police.
District, right. The district I worked for.
Right.
I'm not thinking right. anything, you know, other than gave him the correct answer. I'm not thinking anything that I needed to be very specific on what district. So he said, okay. And the light turned green. I continued going south on Racine from Roosevelt. Well, he activated his lights, and he pulled me over. So immediately I pulled over, like, at about 14th Street. And when he got out of the car, he had his gun drawn.
Wow.
So I told my brother, I said, James, whatever you do, do not take your hands off the dashboard.
Right.
I immediately turned on all the lights inside of my truck.
I
lowered my driver's side window, and I placed both of my hands outside the window. The officer walked up to the door, and he said, where are you going? I said, dropping my brother off. And he said, do you have your driver's license? And I said, yes, I do. I said, well, why do you have your gun drawn? He said, don't ask me any questions. I said, well, I just wanted to know, what did I do to merit that? And he, you know, said, you know, don't ask any questions.
Right, right.
And I said, well, I'm a state trooper. And I figured at this point I needed to identify myself.
Right.
Because I could see that it was starting to escalate. And he said, you're a state trooper? I said, yes. He said, you have your badge? And I said, yes, I have my badge. I have my ID. He said, where's your gun? I said, well, I have my gun on my right hip. He said, step out of the truck. So I stepped out of the truck. His gun was drawn and cocked.
Wow.
And keep in mind, this guy's a sergeant now.
Yeah, I know. I remember. I remember. Okay.
And I got out of the car, and he said, give me your gun. And I said, I'm not going to give you my gun. I'll give you my badge and my ID.
Right.
But I'm not reaching for my gun.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
Because that's not, because then you got a problem.
I got a problem. So he says, give me your gun. At the same time, his partner taking my brother out on the other side.
Okay.
And I told James, I said, James, keep your hand on the hood of the car. Do not take them off. And so the guy who's had me said, so you're not going to give it to me? I said, I'll give you my badge and my ID, but I am not touching my gun. And he called, I don't know what their code is, but
right.
cars came from everywhere. It was a South Water Market.
Okay.
They just swarmed us. I didn't even know there was that many squad cars in the area. And as soon as all those a couple of wagons, other squad cars pulled up, he put his gun away and he pushed me. You know, and
uh-oh.
He shoved me with both hands. Which rubbed me the wrong way.
Of course.
And so, yeah, of course, I pushed him back. And
yeah.
And I got I got bum rushed.
Of course. Wow. Right.
And
you're not a little dude. So.
And I'm not a small guy.
Right.
Right.
So, the only thing I just didn't know, I thought I was going to get whooped pretty good, but they didn't.
Right.
The worst thing happened, somebody got in the bed of the pickup truck, put the flashlight under my neck.
Oh, wow.
And that's how they
you into the
and they lifted me into the bed of the truck.
Wow.
And then at that point, I was like, look, I'm done. Let me just turn on my stomach, put my hands, and then and that's what happened. And then I went to the police station. It was all explained to the lieutenant at the 12th District. Now, keep in mind, when I went to the police district, they handcuffed me to the wall.
Yeah, like a criminal. Right.
And they had my badge, my ID,
your gun,
my gun, my money, all that was on the table. And Lieutenant came back, and as they approached, it was an old building, so I heard him come down the hall. And so the Lieutenant said, well, I'm going to go in here and talk to him. So he came in, and the same story they told the Lieutenant was the same story I told the Lieutenant when he asked me. And he said, well, why do y'all have handcuffed to the wall?
Right.
Cuffs off.
Right.
And so they took the cuffs off, told the lieutenant what happened. We continued talking about it. He said, pick your stuff up. Picked everything up. I put my gun back in my holster, put my money back on my clip, ID and badge back in there. And he said, well, we called your department. And they're going to send a sergeant out. And he said, you have any problem? I said, well, no. I said, I can't leave now because you called the department. I got to wait till the sergeant get here.
Right.
And the sergeant came. And the lieutenant told him what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Our sergeant spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
You okay, Dave? I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of it.
Wow.
And I left.
Now, you said two important things, because this is where it could have went left real bad.
Mm-hmm.
Could have went left real bad. They kept the it was told to you to give me your gun, which means you would have had to reach for it.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, somebody could have hollered, he's got a gun.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So, and the reason I wanted you to tell that story was because, for one, you legally had a gun because, you know, carries a badge. So you legally had your gun, and you can carry your gun anytime, on duty, off duty,
exactly.
Whatever. And you can still carry it, right?
Yes.
Exactly. So in this case, and that's, I wanted to segue into the whole thing that happened in Minneapolis. Because the one in Baton Rouge, there's still a lot of stuff going on, because what I do know is this. You cannot, in this country, and I believe in or I could be wrong, if you're a convicted felon, you cannot own a gun. I believe that's the law everywhere. If you're a convicted felon, you're not.
That's true.
I think so. Even in Louisiana, yeah.
So I'm not justifying him being killed. So don't y'all send me no email talk with that mess. What I'm saying is that he did have a gun, and that's what I've been reading is part of the reason why he probably resisted a little bit and didn't want to get, because he was going to go to jail. And that was going to be some automatic time because he was a convicted felon. So we're going to let that one sit for a minute. I want to focus mostly on the one in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Because that gentleman, so in case you did not know, he does not have a police record, never had a record any time. Worked in the Minneapolis school system. I think he worked in the kitchen. And one of the things I read this morning was that he knew every food allergy of every kid in the school.
Yep.
So he was connected to them. And in the car with his fiance, baby in the back seat, pulled over, we know now, for a broken taillight. That's supposedly why they were pulled over. Well, that is the reason they were pulled over. And all we know is, because we only see it when the video starts, he said, why he was even asked, and that's a question that maybe you can answer, why he was even asked to show his ID, because he wasn't even driving.
He wasn't a driver?
No, he was in a passenger seat. So that in itself is... That was the first, because I didn't even notice it when I watched the video at first, because I'm thinking, well, maybe the camera angle. And I'm like, no, he's in the passenger seat. So is that something we can start there? Is that something that it may be different in different states, but do we ask for ID of everybody in the car?
I have done it.
Okay.
And I thought that, you know, I had four guys that looked like they can be
part of
a gang or gang affiliation.
Yeah. Suspicious, okay. Right.
You know,
but in this case, right, this is a...
If I got a...
a family of three.
Yeah, a woman driving, a guy in the passenger seat, and a baby in the back.
Uh-huh.
I just need the driver's information.
Right. Okay.
Wow.
So apparently they looked for... when they asked him for his ID, the story we're reading and we've been told is that they asked him for his ID. He told them, I have my ID. But I also have concealed carry because I am carrying a gun. He let the police know that, similar to what you did. I'm a state trooper, and I have my badge, my ID, my license, and I have my gun. You know. So according to what we're reading and what we've been told is that the police officer told him, reach back and get me your info. This is what we're being told now. Reach back and get me your info. And what we then later find out is supposedly he reached back. Now, I don't know when he reached back. Did he lift up his shirt? The police officer saw the gun and then said, gun, and started shooting. Because I believe he was shot three times. And the part that's sickening to me is that we don't hear it on the video, so we don't know if it took place before the video. But the whole time, he still got the gun on the guy. And the other guy's on the other side with a gun pointed, telling the woman, don't move. And the baby's in the back seat. The 4 or 5-year-old is in the back seat screaming. And the guy's bleeding out. Now, we're going to assume they called the ambulance because I don't know. But in all this time, the guy is bleeding out in the car. His gun still on his hip, carried legally. His legally owned firearm. So now we don't know what happened to lead up to it. There are no body cameras in this part of Minnesota. They don't have them. They're not obligated to wear them, so we don't have we don't have anything to know what happened other than this post Facebook Live video. My question is, and because you have a daughter old enough to drive, you have sons who soon one of them at least will soon enough be old enough to drive. We both have some. Mine is old enough to drive. His sooner or later will be old enough to drive. What do you tell us? What do you tell the young black boy? Because it's us. I ain't gonna go. I can't deal with nobody else's people. What do you tell the young black boy when he's pulled over by the police?
It's funny because I thought about this yesterday.
You got nephews that's driving, right? One in the army. So
my dad told me this back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
He said, David, when you're out there driving and the police stop you, don't give them no reason to go upside your head. That's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you do everything they ask you to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's yes, sir, no, sir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You let me
right.
fight the battle later.
Right, right.
For you.
Okay.
2016, what would I tell my daughter, any kid now?
Mm-hmm.
When the police stop you,
mm-hmm.
yes, sir, no, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in that car, turn every light on the inside of your car. Turn your radio off. Let your window down.
Mm-hmm.
Take both hands and place them out the window so the officer can see him. And you leave him there. And when he comes, if you don't understand what he's saying, just kindly ask him to repeat himself.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever he asks you to do, if I need your wallet. Well, sir, I'm going to get my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
My wallet's in my right rear pocket.
Right.
I'm going to get, and then leave the other hand out
uh-huh.
the window.
Uh-huh.
Go in there and get it. If you got passengers
right.
in the front,
mm-hmm.
the passengers should put their hands on the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
And leave them there.
Yeah.
If you're in the back seat,
mm-hmm.
put your hands on the headrest. Leave them there.
Mm-hmm.
And then follow whatever orders they give you from there, because that's not a fight you can win there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's with the police officer who just does his job. What do you tell them to the police officer who's a it's a Christian radio show, so I can't cuss like I want to. Who's a butthole? Who and is, you know, looking for an issue, because he's going to assume that your paperwork ain't right anyway, because that's the assumption when we get pulled over 9 times out of 10 that our paperwork ain't right.
Any event that your paperwork is right.
So right.
You'll follow the same,
yes.
the same steps I just told
okay.
you. Okay. He's a very difficult person.
Mm-hmm.
Still give him the respect. If you can get his name.
Yeah.
If you get his name, you don't have to tell him what you do. You don't have to write it down. If you remember it,
mm-hmm.
and look on top of his car.
For the number.
For the number. If it's a state trooper, look at his plate.
Right. Yeah,
and that's all. And don't say I'm gonna call him. Don't say anything to him.
Mm-hmm. Just handle it after the fact.
Handle it after the fact.
Yeah.
And whatever behavior that he displayed that
mm-hmm.
was unprofessional,
mm-hmm.
make a mental note of it.
Mm-hmm.
Make a mental note of it. And
mm-hmm.
as soon as you get away from that situation,
right.
you go and you jot it down so you don't forget any detail,
mm-hmm.
and then you make a phone call to his department.
Mm.
And when you make that phone call,
right.
You don't want to speak to just the person that answers the phone. You want to speak to a shift commander,
right.
a person that can make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I need to speak to. And every person you talk to at that point, you write his name down, his name and rank, and you go from there.
Wow.
That's how you deal with it.
Go ahead.
Is it safe to say that now when we are pulled over by the police, maybe we should turn on our phone cams, sit it on the dash to record the situation that's going on?
I would do it.
Yeah.
I would do it.
Yeah.
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 I would do it.
Because that's what I'm thinking. You know, it's their word against ours in any situation. Hey, look, just been pulled over by the police.
Just sit it up there.
You know.
Here in the Chicagoland.
Okay.
The state police carry body mics. And
now they do. Oh, the state police do, you
yeah.
say. Oh, okay,
and,
state police. I thought you were in Chicago. Okay.
Cameras, video cameras all work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get into serious trouble if your camera's not working
mm-hmm.
and you don't report it.
Okay, right, right.
So state police... body mics, cameras are working.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I think most CPD squad cars
mm-hmm.
Don't
worry about
have
mm-hmm.
Operating cameras, and I think they carry body mics too.
Okay.
And
okay.
most surrounding towns around Chicagoland all fall in the same category in terms of equipment.
Okay.
So, but it wouldn't hurt just, hey, let me just videotape this.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
It wouldn't hurt.
So, let's. Okay, so that's the situation, and we handle it respectfully. I know for a fact, because I've had one or two pulled over by the police at some point, it's always interesting in the conversation. I remember this very clearly. I was living in LaGrange. Yolanda was running late for work. She catches the train. to work. So, you know, on the block that we live, it's a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit. So, of course, I'm trying to get up to the train because I don't want to have to drive all the way downtown. So maybe I was, you know, speed. That's fine. You pull me over. We're in the black Chevy Trailblazer at the time. So the guy pulls me over. And says, you know, you were speeding. I said, yeah, you know, we were, you know, before he even got to the car, because that was her car at the time, her insurance information was in her glove compartment, okay? But her glove compartment was a hot mess. So it was like, so we both were laughing because when she opened up all this crap, I'm like, this is perfect.
This is
so
perfect.
We're laughing about the stuff that fell out the glove compartment. So he comes up. And I had already pulled my license out because I don't keep my driver's license. This is just me. I have two driver's licenses, one in my wallet and one is just sitting in the car because if I leave out the house, I'll never want to not have my driver's license. So I keep a copy in the car and it's readily accessible. So I ain't got to go reaching. It's in my thing here. I'm going to lift this up and you're going to see me grab it and there it is. So I had that out already. And he was like, your insurance. And I said, we're looking for it. I said, you see, you know, she got all this junk over here. So we, you know, laughed. He was like, this is not a funny situation. And I'm like, you know, okay, mind you, it's 7:30 in the morning. I'm like, you know, okay. I said, we'll have it for you in a minute. You don't have insurance? So I'm like, you do see this junk that all fell out. We have insurance. And I didn't at the time, I have the app on my phone. I can just pull it up. At the time, I didn't have all that stuff. So we're looking for it or whatever. So finally, he comes back to the car. He was like, this is not a laughing matter. And it's disrespectful to laugh when I'm trying to. And I'm like, dude, nobody's being disrespectful. I said, now you can either write the ticket and say I ain't got insurance and we can take it from there. Or you can wait patiently while we find you the insurance card. I said, those are your two options. But all this attitude, I said, that's not going to work. It was early in the morning, bro. I wasn't ready. So finally, she, you know, goes through and she finds the old insurance card. Then she finds, so then about 5 minutes passed. So I, you know, the window, so I hand him the thing. So he was like, can you step out of the vehicle? I'm like, for what? Mind you, I wanted to know what am I stepping out of the vehicle for. So now even she asked the question, why does he need to get out the car? Because I'm like, what's the problem? If this is a traffic violation, what's the issue? Man, just like you said in Chicago, mind you, this LaGrange. Don't nothing happen in LaGrange, y'all. Nothing happens in LaGrange. Nothing happens in LaGrange. Every police officer in LaGrange is on the corner of Forest Road and 31st. Every one of them. And I promise you, every one of them. So they're sitting there. So the guy was like, you're not going to step out the vehicle. So I noticed none of his compatriots came to the car. They all stayed in their cars. One guy got out and stood on her side of the car because they don't have partners, so they ride single, you know, in the suburbs. They don't have partners. Stood on her side of the car, you know, probably watching or whatever. So now it's kind of like one of these things. And I still have that. I turned my phone voice recorder on my phone. I still have the copy of the incident because I was like, this is going to get, you know, ignorant. Mm-hmm. And I know I need to control myself, but I'm probably not. So finally he was like, can you step out of the car? So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to get out of the car. So I came. He's like, can you walk to the back of the car, to the back of the truck? And I'm like, sure, why not? I was running your driver's license and your driver's license doesn't match the address on the car. I said, it ain't my car. Cause her name.
What?
But literally, this is the process we're going through and all of this. So he literally goes, I'm going to place your hand behind your back. I said, no, you're not. I said, no, bro. You know, no, what's the problem? Are you carrying any dangerous weapons? Dude, I got on some jogging pants, mismatched socks. I'm trying to take this one to the bus station, to the metro train, which we have just now missed because I'm sitting here playing with you. You could have wrote me a ticket 20 minutes ago and I still would have made the train. Man, the bruh put me in handcuffs, put me in the back of the squad car. Then she starts asking, what is he being arrested for? Never answered her question. Never answered the question. Took us to the LaGrange police station. Took us to the LaGrange police station. We sitting there all of this time, come back and say, well, there is you have a traffic ticket from DuPage County. From 1998. Mind you, now this is 2010. So, and then went through all this process, found out the ticket was actually paid for. I guess the systems, because sometimes y'all stuff don't sync up. I don't know. They don't, mm-hmm. you know. All this stuff went to court. Wasn't nothing there all this time. But all of this was because he sat there literally in his car for 20 minutes because he couldn't find any information, trying to find something. And I said to myself, wow, this would have been different had, you know, things been, you know, if I'd have been, like, you know, really stupid, you know, this probably really could have been different. But when he was sitting there, I noticed we started looking around. All of his friends left. They were like, we don't want no part of this. Because before I got out the car, I called the LaGrange Police Department from the car and said, can I speak to whoever's in charge? And they said, he's out on the call right now. And I said, well, what's his name? It was like, well, this Sergeant so-and-so. He was out there and left. So I ended up, this whole process, it was just, I say all that to say, because in LaGrange, ain't too many folk look like me or look like us in LaGrange. But again, this was, I'm not saying I wasn't in the wrong for speeding, but dude, write the ticket and then go do something else. But to do that, and you heightened the situation because you decided to call backup because the skinny dude didn't want to get out the car with the girl on the passenger seat. So, I mean, how do you, this happens all the time. In areas, in Chicago, it happens, and you know how your nephews are, you know how your daughter is, you know how your sisters are. Certain words are going to trigger actions, and I don't care the situation. And it's like you want to try to maintain the situation, but what do you do? And I know what you said to do, but it sometimes, like you said, when he pushed you, it rubbed you the wrong way. Now, flashback to 2016, if that happens now, you know. You probably can't push back because who knows what might happen.
Exactly.
In 2016, because this was 20 what? 04?
No, this is a 95.
95. Wow. No, so you can't push back in 95. No, no, because we'd be at the, yeah.
You would figure that, you know, they would understand you guys, law enforcement, period, you know? I don't care. It's mind-boggling to know that the level of hatred still exists, you know?
Yeah.
To me, because that's all that it is. It's like, we don't really want you here, and so we just find reasons to push your buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you show up, you're calm about the situation, and so the guy goes to a whole nother level. Because I want you to get out of character so I can have a reason to do what I really want to do
please,
to you.
Please,
you know?
Be the angry black man.
Yeah. I remember I took a part of our training with the state police was class, and it's called verbal judo.
Okay.
Verbal judo.
Okay.
And that's just having a situation
mm-hmm.
where you speak to a person.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to always tell us, don't take a yes person
mm-hmm.
and turn them into a no person.
Okay.
Wow. Wow. That's a marketing skill. Actually,
yeah.
I learned that in marketing.
Yeah. And, yeah.
No, right. Do it. Do whatever you need to do to not make them say no.
Mm. You know, exactly. So, and they, you know, in the words, no, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir. Yes, ma'am. Those are words that help diffuse the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had this guy that I locked up in mm-hmm. one of the suburban jails, and the guy was drunk, and I mean, he was talking about me, my wife, my mother.
Wow. Okay.
And everything, you know. I mean, he was going just, and so I was laughing
mm-hmm.
because some of the stuff was funny.
Yeah, as a comedian.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
So one of the officers walked back there and said, "Hey, troop, you gonna let him keep talking like that? Keep talking to you."
Okay. We're back. Sorry about that. We had some internet issues. Go ahead.
So with the state police, you get trained all the time. And one of the things, when you attend a training session,
mm-hmm.
you have to sign the attendance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And your supervisor will tell you, you know, did you go to your training on August the 7th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Were you there, Dave? Yes. Did you sign the attendance sheet? Yes. They keep a record of attendance sheet at the headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
Another record is sent to Springfield.
Okay.
And just say hypothetically, your record that you signed an attendance sheet
mm-hmm.
somehow got lost.
Mm-hmm.
And when Springfield does whatever they do, or audit whatever they do,
mm-hmm.
they call your district and say, hey, David didn't complete
mm-hmm.
his defensive
mm-hmm.
KISS CAT training.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go back and they say, well, and then they call your district, they tell the people in the district, then they tell your boss, Dave, you know, did you take that class? Yeah, you know, I signed the sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so what does that mean? Because when they giving you these classes, you sign a sheet that goes to Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, like the class for use of force.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you the steps, the protocol you're supposed to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't follow that protocol and you have an unfortunate situation go and you didn't
mm-hmm.
follow hypothetically the
mm-hmm.
four steps.
Right.
You went from step one to step four, which is the ultimate of using your weapon, and you skipped
two and three. Oh, okay.
Well, you wasn't trained to skip two and three. And they're going to go back.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to go back and pull your training record.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You were in this class.
Uh-huh.
You signed for. We have a copy in the district and a copy in Springfield. Here's a syllabus
mm-hmm.
of the class you took.
Mm-hmm.
And at no point that class or the instructor told you skip two and three.
Mm-hmm.
And go to four.
Wow.
So you are on your own in this case. The state police are out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You handle this with your own attorney and your own money.
Wow.
Because we're going to show
right that we trained you,
okay.
And you chose to go.
And here's the syllabus
mm-hmm.
for that use of force.
Mm-hmm.
You were there. Here's the attendance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
There's a copy from the district, a copy in Springfield. You did what you were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how you end up and skipping two and three.
So basically they're saying, you're not going to be a liability for us.
For us.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that it seems like that doesn't happen now.
Oh.
Because now
but
in Chicago, well,
you don't see that happening with the state police.
No, you only
right.
that's what I'm saying.
Right.
You see it happening in the city.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because the city will defend you to the end. Well, that's the way the fraternal order of, you know. Now you guys are not a part of that. That's separate, right? Fraternal order police.
Well, we have our own lives.
You have your own.
Okay. Yeah, I think they're FOP
right.
number 7, and we're 41.
Okay, so it is different.
Wow.
Because they defend them to the end.
Right. Or
I mean, right, wrong.
Just think about the situation that happened up north where the police officer beat the woman who was behind the bar.
Right.
And they had video of it.
Yeah, yeah.
They
really
drug it out for 2 years.
Right.
It's come on, seriously. Or the situation, I mean, I've been pulled over by state troopers, and I've always followed
mm-hmm.
just what you said.
Right.
You know, when they come to the car, you know, hi, officer, you know, yes, sir, no, sir.
What you get pulled over for, man? You drive 56 in a 55.
One time I was speeding, I was going, I was headed to Harvey.
Oh, okay.
And I was speeding, and, you know, even though I made up something on he was generous. He let me go.
Oh, okay.
But I've never had any kind of crazy encounters. Now, I've been pulled over in the city. And like I said, those are two different worlds. It's night and day.
Yeah.
Most of the time, those guys, they feel as though they have something to prove. And they try to put the fear of, you know, me wearing this badge. You know, people respect you if you give it first. That's
mm-hmm.
what I've always been taught.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I address you as sir, and I always have done that, even since military school, they taught us that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir. And that's just how it goes. And so, you know, you angry, you upset. I don't know. You having a bad day. Maybe you should have switched shifts. I don't know. But I've cooperated, and you're asking me to get out of the car and doing all of this other stuff. It's just like, and then you're looking for stuff. You go all the way to the front of the car.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a cracked tail light, a front headlight. I said, really?
I've had, as I worked at the state trooper,
uh-huh.
motors break down on the side of the road, and I got to give them a ride.
Right.
I didn't have a cage in my car. You know, cages are now a problem with the state police, but I'm pretty much old school. I didn't have a cage.
Okay.
It was standard, no cage. So you put your passenger, if you had the arrestee, you handcuff them in the back, you put them in your front seat, seatbelt them in, and that's how you transported your prisoners.
Right.
If you had a motorist that you needed to transport off the interstate, you don't handcuff them, but you put them in the front seat.
Right.
You tell them to seatbelt himself in.
Mm-hmm.
But you always search them.
Yeah.
And
before you get before they get in the car.
What step is that? Step three.
A part of your verbal judo
that
they taught us was, you know, ma'am or sir, for your safety and my safety.
Right.
I'm going to search you
before
before I put you into my car.
Right.
And a lot of, and to somebody might say, who got all the, who got the time to do all that? If you want to avoid some issues, and it really don't take that much time.
Right.
You know,
follow the steps.
I'm gonna transport you off the road, but I'm gonna search you first.
Mm-hmm.
It's for your safety and it's for my safety.
Mm-hmm.
People are much more compliant. Okay, cool. Go ahead and search me.
I think it's that whole thing. You've helped them to understand why these steps are important.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
You know, and it's not time consuming. It takes less than 20 seconds. 10 seconds.
Right. So let me ask you this. Let's talk about what happened last night. You, I believe you guys have been called in a couple times to help with protests downtown.
Yeah.
To assist the police department.
Riot control. Yeah.
Riot control. So is that what they call it? Even though it ain't a riot, is what they call it, riot control?
That's what that whole unit is called. Yeah.
Okay. Even though they're out there for the protesters.
Right.
But they're looking for the rioters. I get it. Okay. So in that situation, you guys are out there lining the outside and making sure the streets are blocked off or whatever, and then you probably were further on the outside because the CPD were probably more internal. You guys were like back up
on
or something
perimeter, yeah.
on the perimeter. Okay, so in this particular situation, we still waiting on. I'm sure they're gonna do a whole. We'll see like a diagram of what went down and where he was shooting from and all this stuff. But you're kind of out in the open. Our city is built a little different downtown. We don't have those, you know, Michigan Avenue. I'm trying to think. There's no like big open parking garages on Michigan Avenue, or State Street. Not open, like where you can turn around and then you can peek over and see down on State Street. We don't have those now. But that's what they had in down this part of Dallas because he was in a school parking lot is where he was. And I guess the question is, you're out in the open, so that's not part of your expectation.
No, it's not.
Because you're only looking at the people
ground
in front of you.
Yeah.
So that's the other reason why, you know, everybody thought this was kind of that this was going to be a little bit rough. Well, that the way it happened because it was planned out, it was strategic, and now we know according to if what they're saying is accurate, you know, he was black, which always surprises me in these type of situations because this is not something. Y'all can laugh if you want to. This ain't something we normally do. We don't do you know, big time shootouts. At least not.
We don't, you know, pull off the Dave Koresh.
Right.
You know,
we don't.
We just go in straight military.
Right. We don't.
So
do
he's
this.
The same guy who the guy is filming. He's on ground level. He finds his way up top. It's the same guy.
I think he was coming from up top.
And he went down because remember he was behind the pillar shooting,
right,
and he shot the one officer who tried to advance on him. And obviously he went around the corner, so I'm thinking maybe he went up top then.
Well, I'm not sure. I just saw the whole process. And again, we don't know if he was one or two. They're still saying they don't know if it was more than one person.
Yeah.
But the fact that he had the guy who was doing one of the videos said that, you know, he was dropping. They say he was dropping clips like.
You can see him throwing it on the ground.
Right, like nobody reloading. Because he had, and once again, let me say this to my gun lovers out there. Once again, the AR-15 was being used.
It was, yeah.
Once again, the gun that y'all say it should be legal for you to carry.
We'll see what they do on Capitol Hill now. Because remember, the Republicans were supporting this.
Yeah, and plus this time it was a black man with the AR-15.
Yeah.
So it might mean something now. It was a brother with the AR-15.
Like, see, we can't have stuff like
and
that happen.
And he had no criminal background.
Nope.
None. He ain't never been on nobody's watch list. It was never a situation. So he just, 25 years old, Now, I am a little skeptical because he had, like, no presence anywhere. They're showing this one Instagram picture with no – yeah, so, yeah.
They only show us what they want us to know, right?
Because I went – as soon as they released his name, you know I went searching because I'm trying to find information for the show. So, I – Nothing came up for this dude except for this one little picture of him on Instagram.
They've shut it down
with a piece of tape.
Yeah.
A piece of tape over his mouth in the picture.
Well, when was it dated?
It's old. It's old. Click that and then hit that button for me. Yeah, it's old, but up top. Yeah, the okay thing in the middle of the screen. That. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's try it, man.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, I'm not sure what how do you have you had to deal with officers, fallen officers? I know you have more of you guys is falling in the sense of people getting hit on the side of the expressway than violent. Has there been incidents where people were pulled over and attacked by motorists or violent?
Not here in the Chicago area, but downstate.
Downstate.
You know, downstate other parts. Yeah.
With Jethro Man.
I never had to deal with that.
Okay.
With a colleague here.
Okay.
And my district or the surrounding districts to Chicago.
Okay.
Deal with that.
Okay.
But
so
I know one thing.
Yes.
When I was watching the videos of Dallas, and you saw those police officers, you're trained.
Yeah.
To go to the gunfire.
And they did.
And they did.
They ran towards it. They did not run away from it.
They ran. You're trained.
Until they showed the other video, he's like, "We gotta get up."
Oh, he
when the cameraman they showing they was all backtracking.
Yeah.
And that's only to regroup because we got to figure out where it's coming from.
Yeah. When you don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
It's funny you said that. I remember you remember this would be funny. Burke Files. The late Burke Files. He was first sergeant here in the 15th district, actually, and in the 11th. A friend of mine grew up with his kids and everything. Burke used to always say this about being a police officer. He said, "You'll never read about me on the news being a hero." You know, Burke was overweight, right? He said, "If you read about me in the news, it's because I got shot in the butt." Because I was running back to my... That's what he said. Because he said, they don't, you know, I guess he was talking about different situations. He was like, "Cause some folks is crazy." He said, "I know better. You know, I'm waiting for backup. I ain't never going to be the G.I. Joe and just run in the building. Like, you know, you see in these movies, these guys not waiting now." He said,
Don't wait for their partner.
He said, I ain't going to never be me. So... again, we're just trying to add some levity to it. I know it's kind of rough today, you know, with everything that's going on. But, man, I appreciate you coming, bro. It was good, you know.
Shedding some light on some things.
I hope y'all got something out of this as far as, you know, because there's going to come a time, believe it or not, you're going to get stopped by the police. Even if you hadn't done anything, there's a possibility you might get stopped by the police. And we need to know how to respond and act accordingly. And even though your inner person might want you to react.
Don't do it. Look, now you can catch your fit later after
right.
they drove off.
Then you can cuss and say all of that and call people, but while they sitting there, go ahead, you're about to say something.
The pen is much more powerful than the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Use the pen.
Yeah.
Use the pen. If you feel that your stop was illegal, unjust, you were disrespected, use the pen. Use the power of the pen.
Mm-hmm.
It's true because
and it'll go much further.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go much deeper.
It does cut more deeper. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
It doesn't appear, but it will go much further and it will cut much deeper.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you say that because a lot of times, cops, for so long, especially here in the city, certain people that they wanted to get, they've often did illegal stops, and so when these people have, you know, produce lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
They wind up dropping the case because they didn't follow protocol.
Let me just say this, too. When an unjust stop or a rude officer stops a person in Roscoe Village, person in Roscoe Village files a complaint.
Right.
Whatever steps that person need to do in Roscoe Village, and we know who live in Roscoe Village.
Right.
Yeah.
In Lincoln Park.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever steps they need, they follow until that complaint is heard and acted upon.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever paperwork they got to fill out, they fill it out.
Mm-hmm. They follow the whole process.
They follow the process.
Yeah.
When they stopped the guy in West Garfield, same situation.
Mm-hmm.
Rude,
mm-hmm.
wasn't justified, just, you know, all those it ends right there.
Because we go home mad.
We go home mad.
Right, and take it out on the folks at home and, or whatever.
Oh, exactly. and when you don't follow the process, all you do is leave it open for it to continue.
For the next person. Mm-hmm. And
that same guy who did you wrong,
he's
going to do it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we as a community have to say, when it happens to you, okay, all right. And you don't have to tell him you're doing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Get his car number.
Mm-hmm.
Get his badge. Get his name.
Mm-hmm.
What district he is.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you can't even get the number of his car,
just get the license plate. Yeah, get the plate number.
They can trace it back to who was driving it that day. And
right, because some cars are unmarked and you can't see the number on top. Get the plate number.
They can trace it back.
Yeah,
where it's from. And that's what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to have a tremendous impact, and it'll cut down a whole lot of this.
And
with so many of us.
We don't say anything. We just take it and once
and share it at the barbershop
and make everybody else mad.
Now, how do you speak to the processes that people have gone as far as trying to prosecute those who have done wrong and they haven't seen any justice?
Yeah, they got off.
So it's kind of like this level of frustration that exists. Of course, we see it now is that we went to the but I fault lawyers, too, now. Trayvon Martin should have been convicted, or the killer of Trayvon Martin should have been convicted of manslaughter.
George Zimmerman.
Not first-degree murder.
Zimmerman.
So
yeah.
We dropped the ball on that. We pursued, but we didn't pursue it correctly.
Yeah, because you overcharged.
Freddie Gray.
Same thing with Freddie Gray. They overcharged. They overcharged. Instead of going for just manslaughter, we going for premeditation. And there was none. It was a mistake that happened. He locked him up. They put him in the back of the paddy wagon without locking and securing him in there. The intent wasn't to kill him. The intent was probably to bounce him around. So you don't go for first degree murder. You go for manslaughter. I mean that's just so. But one, you said something that was very interesting and that we need to make sure we do this. If you don't say nothing, you can't expect things to change.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't complain about y'all have the opportunity to go to the vote, you don't.
Yep. What if I'm Jehovah's Witness? I don't believe in voting.
Almost. You trying to see? I'm trying. I've been good today. I almost finna say you're going to hell anyway. But y'all pray for the Jehovah's Witness. But you can't.
We have no confidence in government. So we don't believe in the power of the vote.
But then you don't need to be here, seriously, because we're a country of laws.
God is still sovereign, but we're not a part of the voting process.
Okay. Look, you know what? Since you don't believe in the government, give me the money out your pocket. With them Franklin and George.
I work for this.
No, but it's government money though. The government owns that.
The government hasn't given me any assistance. I've worked like Adam,
but sweat of my brow. Here you go. Really, really. Anyway. I'm gonna pray for you too. When you get
Jehovah,
okay.
Go ahead.
We need to get to a point where we do report these things and that we stay on the ball. We cannot allow it to, because it goes back to what you said. You can't allow the process, because here's the deal: you may have taken it and was only offended slightly. When he pulls Devon over, Devon ain't gonna be as nice. And because nobody checked you when you screwed up the first time, now when you get when you finally do get the right reaction, it could have been stopped. It's just like it's no different. And I'm not, and I know this, y'all know I sometimes use the wrong analogies, but it's no different when women don't go after rapists, when they don't tell the police about what happened, because what you do is you let him go get the next one,
and
then you find out, because a lot of times you ever watch some of these different crime stories or whatever. You find out you ain't the first victim. You number six. Because all of a sudden, here come three more. Well, it happened to me in this year, but I didn't say nothing.
What about in Bill's case?
I'm not. You're not going to bring up Bill Cosby at 1:15. We finna go. But anyway. So how's retired life, Mr. former state trooper?
Good.
It's good.
Yeah.
You good with not being in the car every day anymore? Cause other than when you have to.
Sometimes I miss it.
Okay.
Sometimes I miss it. But for the most, 26 years, you're gonna miss something.
Yeah.
You'll miss it. You do it every almost every day for 26 years. So I miss it. I miss some of the people there.
I was about to ask you, how many of the guys that you graduated with, did anybody else retire, or were you the first one out of the group?
No, a couple other guys retired before me.
Because you can leave at, what, 20 or 20? When you can leave, at 20 or 25?
You got to have the age, and the age is 50.
Okay.
And then 50 and 20, then you can go.
So okay.
I had 26 years, and to max out, it has to be 26 years, 8 months.
Okay.
But I left for 26 years, 4 months. I had a bunch of sick time and vacation time.
Right.
Which I used to take up the other 4 months.
Okay, so you equal out. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But, it's nice.
Okay, so are you still teaching or no?
No, I don't teach anymore.
Okay, so you did used to teach for a while.
20 years. I taught for 20 years.
In the Chicago public school system.
Chicago public school system, and I taught 9 years at 8 years at the juvenile detention center.
Okay.
Anthony B. Jefferson.
So didn't you also work at Montefiore or something like that for a while? I remember your story that you had to get up out of there because
I was one step away from going. I was a rough kid, brother.
I taught there. I started teaching there.
Okay, that's what I remember an incident with the kid challenging you saying if you ain't had that badge and that gun.
Yeah.
I remember that story. That was like when you had first started.
Yeah. But I run into students all the time,
mm-hmm.
and they say, "Hey, Mr. Horton,"
mm-hmm.
and I have to say to them, "Young lady, how you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what school was it at.
Right, right.
Or when I was over at Manly, or for you, when I was at Crane,
mm-hmm.
or when I was at Smith Elementary, I taught there too.
Mm-hmm.
So I run into students all the time. But during that time, I always inform the students, and I'm a state trooper, XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I try to display the gentler side
mm-hmm.
of law enforcement. But I just try to, hey, look, this is where we come from.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you should interact. I can get you guys in school to understand this, and maybe you can, take some of this outside the school and
right.
share it with your friends. So I always had, and that's why I taught in the jail for that long.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some of the worst juveniles come in there for crimes they committed,
mm-hmm.
and I spoke with them. I didn't condemn them.
Mm-hmm.
I did my best to teach them,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, I used to talk to the kids, man. Now I tried my best to give back as I was, serving
right.
the state.
Let me ask you this from that perspective, because you dealt with both sides. You had your share of criminals, I'm sure, when you pulled over people, you saw they had warrants
mm-hmm.
or whatever. But then you saw them before they got to that point in school.
Mm-hmm.
The gap, or rather, where are we dropping the ball at as a society? And I'll take it further, because you are the son of a pastor, formed the organizing pastor of the church that we have our studio in. Where do you see is the gap? Because I always bring it back to the church, because the church seems to be silent, not as active as it used to be. I'm not just singling out Kingdom. I mean the church proper, because everybody always say, here you go. I have to put that out there, because otherwise, I get threatening email. Anyway, the church proper is so silent on these issues of going out and, like you're saying, being serving. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Right, sir.
We're supposed to be servants. I mean, that's what the Bible says. So
yeah.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. Where do you see it at in your time? You walked in here when they marched in, back in 44 years ago. Where has church changed? How have you seen church be less active now compared to how active it was back in the 70s and when you were a kid, and then even in the 80s?
It's strange. I was talking to a young lady the other day about
mm-hmm.
this, and I just remember my dad being down there on Tuesday nights for mission,
mm-hmm.
Wednesday nights for
Bible study and prayer and teachers meeting.
And teachers
prayer and teachers meeting.
When they had the senior choir, he stopped by here on Thursdays. And then for young adult choir rehearsal on Friday, he stopped by.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was down here on Saturday.
All day.
So, and then he was here all day on
Sundays.
Right. Right.
And his only off day was Monday.
Monday, probably.
And then he had to go visit the people that was in the hospital.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
and
full
then
time.
I'm out of the mix now, and I say I'm out of the mix because my dad's not around pastor anymore.
Right.
So I can't see it. But what I saw from him growing
mm-hmm.
up, he was a pastor 24 hours a day. Because
mm-hmm.
the phone never stopped ringing.
Right.
Stopped ringing
right.
at the house.
Mm-hmm.
People always, and I remember getting in trouble with my dad. You know, Sister So-and-so called, and I forget to give him the message.
Right.
So it wasn't no answer machines back then.
Right, you had to write it down.
You know, and I didn't write it down.
And forgot.
You know.
Oh,
then,
she did call.
Like, yeah. And then, Reb, I called you a couple of times. I spoke to David. He said he'll give you the message. Okay. And then she just called in. You didn't.
Right.
But he was a pastor 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that
happening as much.
But then again, I'm not in the home of some pastors.
Okay. Let me help you out with the Austin community.
But let me also say
come on,
this.
Come
let
on.
Me, let me also say this. A lot of churches used to have daycare centers. I don't see a lot of churches
after school programs.
After school,
mm-hmm.
I don't see churches doing that anymore. I don't know why. Maybe they got away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I used to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Every church had a summer job program.
Mm-hmm.
Kids were going to the church. We had a big summer job program here.
Mm-hmm.
We used to get 30, 40 kids here every summer.
Right.
You know, we looked at not only the members in the church, but in the community looked forward to kids coming and working for that $2.65 an hour back then.
That's how much it was.
That's the minimum wage.
It was
whatever the minimum wage was.
Yeah.
But you just don't see that. And I'm like you,
mm-hmm.
Dana. The church need to get outside the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And Monique,
mm-hmm.
and my sister, your
mm-hmm.
aunt,
mm-hmm.
said you had mentioned something about just churches just leaving the church.
Walk
on
out
Sunday,
on Sunday morning.
And everybody should just go. The churches should all coordinate it.
Yeah.
And all have church on Madison Street.
Yeah.
If they can shut down Madison.
Yeah.
And it's nothing about the protest
mm-hmm.
or anything. But if we can shut it down for them. We should be able to shut Madison down
mm-hmm.
for an hour
yep.
for all the churches in the
yep.
community
yep.
to have church coordinated
yep.
on Madison Street.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely.
And sometimes you need change like that.
Mm-hmm.
You need to spark people. You need to think outside the box. And I think that was a great idea you came up with.
Yeah, but the problem is here again is the issue. And I said this too. I had a good conversation with Dr. Julian Spencer this morning from Aurora, friend of the show out of Maine Baptist Church. And he put some stuff up on Facebook last night. And he said that a lot of his white friends sent him messages on the side. They didn't comment publicly. They sent him some side messages. And one of the things, you know, it says is there are a lot of people who want to help, but they don't know how. So the problem is, but here's the difference between white folks and black folks, and this is what irritates me about our people. White people will be humble enough to say, hey, we want to help y'all, but we don't know what to do, so just tell us what you need us to be.
Yeah.
Black folks, I'm too proud to say I don't know what I'm doing. So
do it anyway.
So I ain't gonna do nothing. Mm. Or if it ain't my idea,
then I won't support.
Right, because as I said this to y'all, there was a prominent pastor on the west side of Chicago in the Austin community. I'm gonna leave it at that. He's been on this show. He told me via Facebook, I'm not coming. You know, maybe if y'all set the table, then I'll come to the table. That's what I was told. So I'm gonna, so with that, with me, I lost all respect for him as a leader. I ain't gonna question nobody's call. That's between him and God. But as a leader, because here's my deal: if you can lead 300-400 people on a Sunday morning, your people will follow you. You know, as you play football.
Yeah.
You play football.
Mm-hmm.
I play. Here's the deal: the guy that's doing all the talking, or the coach. You know, you play for the coach. But the guy who's in charge of your defense, if you see that fool breaking his neck, you're gonna go try to break yours too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If the people see their pastor go to the street, they'll be like, oh, well, the pastor out there, we can't let him go out there by himself.
Right.
We got to go, too.
Right.
But if all you do is get the Sunday morning, you know, amen, hallelujah sermon, because like I told y'all, I said this before, that sermon you preach on Sunday ain't going to work in the street. Because in the street, young brother going to come and ask you some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Your church members, 8-9 times out of 10, ain't going to ask no questions. They're going to, amen, pastor. And then you go home and everybody go home happy. In the church, when you go out on the street and we have to evangelize and talk to people, we're on the corner of Central and Madison, them brothers go up there and say, hey, man, look, What can the church do about this situation? Tell me how God can get me out of this situation. I don't want to be out here selling drugs, but this is all I can do right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what? Now tell me what they got to do with the dry bones in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Nothing.
To me, it's something that we should have already had conversations behind closed doors.
Yes.
To come up with a plan.
Yes.
A plan or a vision that God has given us, so now he gives the blueprint.
Yeah.
Because I believe wherever God places you,
mm-hmm.
he gives you a heart for that community.
He should.
Right?
If he placed you.
Right.
That's the key word. Because sometimes we put people in place.
Sometimes we've just or in a location just so that we can come together and worship.
Yeah.
But to me, it's pointless if we're not reproducing more disciples to go out into the world mm-hmm. or that community as mm-hmm. well to transform lives. And so people want to know, okay, you're telling me to stop selling drugs and give my life to God.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next step?
Exactly.
You know, do we have men in place to mentor the young guys who we're pulling off of the streets into this next step?
Right.
Like you said, there were daycare centers. There were after-school programs. You know, there were summer programs.
And then you all had mentors here.
Yeah.
Here. Mm-hmm. Y'all had mentors.
And there were men
right.
there. So that means that they were involved.
Mm-hmm.
They engaged the younger guys. And as they were coming up, they even got forms of discipline.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just by default.
Yeah.
Hey, you can't play on the piano.
Right.
There's a certain structure to how we do things here, and they take those things, you know, back home
yes.
to the classroom and
yep.
stuff like that. And so that's one of the biggest things we've been praying for, man, is that more men would step up.
Yeah. So look,
so
y'all,
that presence is missing too.
We got about 2 minutes left. We are not going over today. I'm actually shocked. That's amazing. We got like 2 minutes left. I'll say this, and then we'll move on. And Devon, you pray us out so we can get out of this hot room. You know, the air on it just don't seem to be kicking like it's supposed to over there. There's a lot that's going to still come out about what happened in Baton Rouge and what happened in Minneapolis, and then now what happened in Dallas. Nothing that happened in Dallas can be. There should not be a correlation between that and what happened in those other two states. That idiot in Dallas, the shooter or shooters, did what he did on his own.
That's
he was not fair. Representing Black Lives Matter.
Fair,
he
yeah.
was, and he said this. I mean, yep. He said, I don't like white people, especially white police. That's what they're saying that he said. So that has nothing to do with these two things. We still need to worry about the injustice. And if the church does not stand up, if your silence, I think Dr. King said this, your silence is convicting. Your silence almost means you agree. It's like when you don't vote.
Yeah.
When you don't vote, you're pretty much voting you're voting for the wrong person because you're going to allow the wrong person to get in by you not voting. Y'all don't believe me? See Governor Rauner, your former boss. former now. Anyway, look, man, it's been great. I appreciate you coming in. Appreciate you, man, for coming through. I'm going to try to get, you know, somebody else grew up with, Ivan Miller. Correctional officer. He deals with them after the fact. So the job, our job is to try to get them before they end up where he is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. Pray us out, Doc.
Lord, we just come to you today, humble hearts. And,
yeah.
Lord, we just want to thank you for life and health and strength on today, Lord. We pray for those who have lost their lives in the last 72 hours,
yeah.
Police. People of our color.
Mm-hmm.
I just speak to all injustice all over the world right now, Lord. And you know our needs. You know the leaders. You know the senators. You
mm-hmm.
know everybody who is in office. And, Lord, I do believe that the problem is bigger than skin color. That problem is sin. And when sin is present,
mm-hmm.
Lord, we hate people. We,
mm-hmm.
we're biased and we're prejudiced. And so, Lord, there's a huge need in America for your son Jesus. And Lord, we are praying that you begin to move the hearts of leaders, spiritual leaders, who will go into communities with the heart of Christ to love people to your will, to your purpose, to your way, and that we can be example to those who sit in high places. So Lord, as we leave this place, but never your presence, continue to watch over us and to keep us and to keep our hearts mended in you. And Lord, thank you for our listeners and our guests who came out and shared his wisdom on what we need to do. So, Lord, we thank you in all things, and we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, hey, y'all be safe this weekend. It's supposed to be hot. It's Taste of Chicago. If you get a chance to go down there, if you still go, I asked y'all the other day who's still going. Nobody said they even go. I ain't been to the Taste in 10 years.
No wonder traffic was so horrible.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. But y'all be safe out there. And like I say, y'all every week. If you live in Chicago, keep your head on the swivel. Y'all stay blessed. We out of here, TTO.
Bless us now, my Savior. I come to bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, bless His holy name. This can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Whoa, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Oh, He's my friend.
I feel right, church, and y'all better pray with me. I said He picked me up and turned me around, y'all. He picked me up and turned me around. One day He picked me up and turned me around. I said He my friend. Oh, the blood of Jesus. I promise you I'm going to sing some more of this stuff in a minute. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, of Jesus, that washes my as snow, for it reaches to the highest mountain, ooh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day, my God, today, da, 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 da. It will never, ever, ever lose. It will never, never, ever lose. It will never, ever, never lose. Its power. Power, wonder-working power, in the blood. I believe y'all in a minute. Of the Lamb. Oh, there is power. Power. Wonder working power. In the precious blood of the Lamb. Y'all, can we keep singing them songs in the church? Oh, God. I just feel like having church, that's all. I know we ain't got all night, but just touch somebody real fast for me and tell them to say, neighbor, there's still power in the blood. Some of y'all still ain't talking to nobody. I see you looking at me. Just touch somebody, tell them to say, neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. There's still power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, y'all ain't saying it like y'all came at. Just touch somebody real fast and tell them to say, neighbor. There's still power. I know some of y'all think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I just love him, that's all. Just look at somebody and tell them, say, neighbor, I'm not crazy. I just love the God that I serve. I wonder if there's anybody in this house other than me. Have to make that declaration right now. Just look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, I'm not crazy. I just love him. Dear Lord. Oh, I just love him. I'm trying to get past all this, but I wonder if there's anybody other than me that got a reason to shout. Just tell somebody, say, this ain't no show, this ain't no show. Let me tell you right now, ain't none of this stuff even gonna be on the record. Tell somebody, say, this ain't a show, this ain't a show. But because he's brought me out of some stuff, I got a right and a reason to give God some glory. Getting light.